أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى, we are on the second last khutbah of this series of the khutab on the wisdom of Suratul Luqman. The ayat that we have chosen for these khutab, alhamdulillah, are 15 ayats, which insha'Allah al-musta'an, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will give us a total of 52 khutab. This is the barakah of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds to the barakah of His kalam. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for increase in ilm. Rabbi zidni ilman. There's nothing else that Allah asked His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask increase for except in ilm. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, for the believers, He said, that the talabul ilm, to seek knowledge, faridatan ala muslim wa muslima. He said this is a fard on the Muslim man and the Muslim woman. Therefore, to seek knowledge is intrinsic in Islam. Alhamdulillah. But let me remind myself and you that the purpose of seeking knowledge is not to write books or to deliver khutbas or to listen to khutbas or to accumulate this knowledge as bits and pieces of information, but to practice it in our lives. Knowledge is a double-sided or a double-edged sword. It cuts away the darkness of ignorance, and it also becomes a witness against the person who has it. The counter to this is not to say that not to have knowledge is a good thing. Ignorance is not bliss, definitely not in Islam. To seek knowledge is fard, to seek knowledge is compulsory and obligatory. But we also must use that knowledge, we must practice that knowledge. Knowledge that we don't practice can become a witness against us to say that we knew but we did not do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. The ayat of Surah Al-Luqman that we will deal with today are where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ نَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Which means, we let them enjoy for a little while, and then in the end, we shall oblige them to enter a great torment. And if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They will certainly say, Allah. Say, all praise and thanks be to Allah. But most of them do not know. My brothers and sisters, ayat like these are very frightening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comforting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and telling them not to feel discouraged when they see people who openly disobey Allah but are apparently prospering. We see this all around us today, and many people feel that something is wrong with them and that they are losing out because they refuse to do what Allah prohibited. We see people dealing in interest, in bank interest, But apparently nothing is happening to them. They are getting wealthier and wealthier. We see people who are corrupt, who give and take bribes, who embezzle funds, who run scams, people who do all kinds of things. And yet, nothing seems to happen to them. They don't seem to perish, or they don't seem to feel any pain in the matter. But they prosper and they become wealthier and more prosperous. And so sometimes we feel that maybe we are being needlessly circumspect, and we are being unnecessarily careful, and that maybe we can also get away with doing things which Allah has prohibited. I remind myself and you not to be fooled by shaitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us upon, it is not how much wealth we had, but how we acquired it and where we spent it. It is not how much time we had, but what we did with that time. It is not how much strength and power and authority we had, but how we used that strength and power and authority. There is a series of lectures of mine, and which have been compiled into a book, which is called Questions, But How Will We Answer? Most of you have heard those lectures live, but for a reminder, you might want to go and listen to them again. All the lectures are on our website of the masjid, and the book is on Amazon, and all of these Islamic books and lectures, of course, are all free. So do listen to them again. I have dealt with the questions of the qabr, of the grave, and questions of the day of judgment in that book. And all of these questions relate to what is in our control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put it in our control to determine how much money or power or authority or land or property we would acquire or we would hold. What He put into our hands is the effort that we need to make, and thanks to that effort, the results of that effort. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us on the total quantum of what we held, but He will question us on how we came about that, how we chose to earn it, what ways we followed, which brings us to the issue of what we should have done and what we should not have done. I therefore remind myself and you to live life thoughtfully, to think about what we do before we do it, and to ensure that we don't do that which Allah has prohibited. As for this question of saying, well, you know, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they seem to be doing well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and then therefore for the believers to feel that maybe, being pious and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is somehow detrimental to their interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this tendency in the Quran. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُوفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُورًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وزخرفة وإن كل ذلك لما متاع الحياة الدنيا والآخرة عند ربك للمتقين. Which means Allah is saying, and were it not that all mankind would have become of one community of disbelievers desiring only worldly life, if this was not likely to happen, we Jalla Jalaluhu would have provided for those who disbelieve in Allah, silver roofs for their houses, and elevators and stairways of silver, whereby they ascend, and for their houses, doors of silver and thrones of silver on which they could recline, and adornments of gold. Yet all this, that is the roofs and the doors and the stairs and the elevator and the thrones and so on of their houses of silver and gold, would have been nothing but an enjoyment of this world. And hereafter, and the hereafter with your Rabb is only for the muttaqun. My brothers and sisters, imagine this situation. Imagine Allah is not talking about gold plating. Allah is not talking about gold paint. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about solid gold and solid silver, weighing tons of the material. And Allah says He would have given this to every disbeliever. Not to believers. He says He would have given this to every disbeliever. Thrones and furniture of gold and gold houses and roofs of gold and whatnot. And Allah is saying that He would have given this to every disbeliever if it was not for the fact that probably some of the Muslims or most of the Muslims would have run away from Islam seeking that gold. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and even after giving all of that gold, that would only be for a few days, for a few moments while they lived in this world. And then when they died without Iman, they would go into eternal punishment. And the Akhirah is only for the Muttaqoon. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to make us among the Muttaqoon, to whom the joy, the everlasting success of the Akhirah has been promised. About those who continue to receive warnings but ignore them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. So when they forgot the warning with which they had been reminded, we opened to them the gates of every pleasant thing until in the midst of their enjoyment in that which they were given, all of a sudden we took them to punishment. And lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regret and sorrows. My brothers and sisters, please notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that those who forgot the warning were punished. He is saying those who forgot the warning were not punished. They were given more and more wealth and more power and all kinds of pleasant things, until one day they were caught in the middle of their enjoyment. So they did not even have time to make tawbah. They did not have time to repent. They did not have time to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such an amazing thing to imagine and to think about, and to remind ourselves anytime we feel envy for those who seem to have wealth and who seem to have power and authority and who seem to be enjoying life despite the fact that they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defining for us the parameters and criteria of success. Allah is reminding us that acquiring wealth, which is at best temporary, is not success if it is acquired in ways that will lead to eternal punishment. It is not how much you have, but how you acquired it that will count. It is not how much you spend, but what you spend it on, which will count, and which will be a means of reward or punishment for you. And in both these things, it is not your creative interpretation of reality or convenient fatawa which will help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law applies like all Allah's laws apply, indiscriminately and equally to anyone who is within the purview of that law. There seems to be a mistaken conception in the minds of Muslims today that as long as they are spending some money in the path of Allah, that as long as they are spending some money in charity, then haram becomes halal for them. How else do you explain our great friends and wonderful companions who do work in charity, but then in their parties they invite women to come and sing songs. They invite women to come and sing songs in their parties for their pleasure, and they listen to all kinds of haram music. How do you explain the spendthrift mentality, the israf, the spending of money as if there is no value in their weddings? How do you explain the fact that they drink alcohol and that they they have dance parties and so on and so forth in their weddings. If I am exaggerating, please tell me. But you know I am not exaggerating. My brothers and sisters, please understand. What you have belongs to you. And it belongs to you only because Allah gave it to you. So it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because you have wealth, it does not mean that you can throw some money at God and the rest of it is fine. You can do what you want with your life. That is not Islamic ideology. That is not Islamic theology. Please understand that. We are accountable for every single cent, every single penny, every single paisa that we spend. Just as we are accountable for every single penny, paisa or cent that we earn. So please, do not fall into this trap. How many times do you want to be reminded again and again that these Ghana parties you have and these kinds of parties and stuff you have and the ostentatious spending in your wedding and all of this spending on things which are clearly haram as alcohol and so forth. All of this is haram, haram, haram. And just because you are giving charity does not cancel out this. Please understand that. That is not Islamic theology. That is not what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us. Find me a sahabi who did this. Find me any of the sahaba who indulged in haram and also who gave charity in the hope that this will wipe, one will wipe out the other. Yes, it is true. Good deeds wipe out the sins. Inna al-hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. But that refers to doing a sin unknowingly, without knowledge, doing a sin by mistake, by weakness, and then immediately making tawbah and as part of the tawbah giving something in charity. It does not apply to living our whole lives like this, where we continuously keep on doing haram things after haram things. We do them or we participate in them or we go to those parties, we are invited, we go there knowing what is going to happen there. My brothers and sisters, please stop fooling yourself. Someone asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi this question. And he said, you teach us that disobeying Allah results in failure and grief, and obeying Allah results in happiness. But our experience is the opposite. People who obey Allah seem to suffer, while those who disobey Allah seem to get more wealth and power. Imam Shafi recited this ayat of Surah Al-An'am to this person and said, this ayah shows that if a person is disobeying Allah and is getting wealthier and more powerful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab on him has already started. Imagine this. He's saying, Imam Shafi rahmatullah is saying that if you find a person is disobeying Allah but is not getting punished but is actually getting wealthier and happier, then it means the azab on him has already begun, already started, because the doors of all good things have apparently been opened on that person. And then you need to await a time when this person suddenly will be caught in the middle of his enjoyment and he will not have a chance to make tawbah. It is important for us to reset our criteria of success so that we pursue genuine and lasting success and not failure and destruction masquerading as success. Think of it like this. Two men jumped out of a plane, skydiving, say at 20,000 feet. One of them said, I don't believe in gravity. Have you seen gravity? It's a lot of nonsense that is taught by silly scientists. There is no proof for gravity. And no amount of your trying to convince him succeeds, as he is not willing to look at signs that point to the presence of gravity and its effect on those living on the planet. So when you and he jump out of the plane, at first you are both falling at equal speed, that is 32 feet per second per second. Then when you reach critical height, say 10,000 feet, you pull your ripcord and your parachute deploys. You notice that your friend didn't follow suit and didn't pull his ripcord. You call out to him on the intercom and tell him to deploy his parachute. He laughs at you and says, I told you gravity is rubbish. I don't believe in gravity. It has no effect on us. In any case, see who is going faster now, you or I. Who is having more fun, you or I? Now what could you say to this person? What could you say to this person except to say, bye-bye, my friend, it was nice knowing you. Because very soon, he is going to experience gravity. He is going to meet Mother Earth in a way that will be completely fatal as far as he is concerned. The reality is that not believing in gravity will not change anything for us. It won't free us from the effect of gravitational pull. It won't save us from the consequences of meeting Mother Earth without a parachute. It will change nothing because reality is not dependent on belief for its existence. Not accepting reality merely prevents us from preparing for it to take advantage of its potential benefits and protect ourselves from its potential threats. Reality is not different for people based on their willingness to believe it. Intelligent people are those who ascertain what reality is, what is it that applies to them, and then they prepare for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, is real, whether anyone likes to believe that or not, whether anyone likes it or not. Allah is real. His promises are all real. The meeting with Him is real. Our death is real. The Akhirah is real. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His message is real. Those who are intelligent will make an effort to learn about these things and prepare for them. Those who want to live in a fool's paradise will continue to ask silly questions and refuse to believe their experience and refuse to believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and continue to ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that He taught us to succeed in both worlds. Naturally, like the man who deployed his parachute and the man who didn't, their ending will also be different from each other. Allah gave us the choice to choose whatever ending we wish for ourselves. Let us choose intelligently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the last of the ayat that we are looking at today, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will certainly say Allah. Say all praise and thanks be to Allah, but most of them do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring here to the tendency of people who know what the truth is. And this was the case with the Quraysh, and this is the case today even with other people, where they know what is right, but they refuse to follow it because it doesn't suit them. It doesn't suit their desires. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this tendency of following your desires over and against His orders and over and against the sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this tendency shirk. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Furqan, and Allah said, have you not seen those people, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you not seen those people who have taken for their ilah, for their deity, for their Rabb, for their Lord, for their God, their own desires? Have you not seen those people who have taken for their ilah, for their deity, the one they worship, their own desires? And are you going to intercede for them? The questioning tone is actually a prohibition, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not intercede for such people, because we will not forgive such people who deliberately have taken for their desires, who have taken their desires as their deity to worship instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind you and myself, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying taking a desire as a worship, it's not that a person who is drinking alcohol puts a bottle of alcohol in front of him and makes sujood to it. What it means is that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling obedience as a way or expression of worship. So if somebody is obeying something opposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, then that is like worshipping that thing instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is not only the formal forms of worship that we do, which is salah and sawm and zakat and hajj. Worship is also obedience. Obedience is one form of worship, which if we do to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the two are opposed, we are not talking about obeying somebody in goodness. We are talking about obeying somebody when that somebody or that thing is ordering us or compelling us or tempting us to do that which Allah has prohibited. When we do that, then definitely we are worshipping that thing instead of worshipping Allah. When that thing is our desire, when we desire to do something which we know is haram, we know this thing is prohibited, yet we do it, then we are obeying our desire instead of obeying Allah, and therefore we are worshipping our desire instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, again and again, this whole subject of worshipping anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes up. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Because in the end, that is the only thing which will count. We know this very well. Where is the wealth of Howard Hughes? Where is the wealth of this one and that one? Of all the great millionaires and billionaires of the world that whose names we have heard, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us examples of Fir'aun and Qarun, of Namrud and so forth, of the great kings and queens of this world whose wealth today we cannot even count? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us those examples? He gave us those examples so that we can think about them and ask the same question and say, where is that person now? What use is their wealth to them today where they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they lived in sin, they lived in disobedience of Allah, and they died trying to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They died in sin and they died in rebellion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their wealth did not help them. So also our wealth, if it is used against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not help us. Now, brothers and sisters, all our smart and cool friends who try to lead us on the path of disobedience, please reject them. Please do not listen to them, because on the day of judgment, you and I will stand alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will not be able to point a finger at and blame anybody else and say, that person led me astray, because we are responsible for our own actions. A person can try to lead you astray. A person can tempt you. But at the end of the day, you and I make that decision. Are we going to do this or are we not going to do this? Let our decisions and our actions speak for us as obedient slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Imam Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said once that there has never been he said, I have never said anything, or I have never gone anywhere, or I have never acted in any situation unless I asked myself this one question, which is, does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Believe me, my brothers and sisters, this is not difficult. It is the easiest thing in the world to ask yourself this question and then do what is pleasing to Allah. This question can have one of three answers. Yes, this pleases Allah. No, it does not please Allah. I don't know. If it pleases Allah, by all means, do it. If it does not please Allah, by no means, do it. Do not do it. And if it is something in doubt, then clarify the doubt before doing it. It is the easiest thing in the world. And this is the path of safety before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of His ni'mat on you with khair when He is pleased with you, not as a sign of His punishment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to change our lives and to start doing that which is beneficial for us and to stop doing that which is not beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.